with all of that being said, we go into our sermon this morning. And so we've been on our series, and this is week number 5 of being called by name, that God's called us out of insecurity. He's called us out of our fear. He's called us even out of our busyness and our distractions, like we learned last week. But today we're going to talk about a different kind of a call, a call where we don't actually hear Jesus or someone say their name, but their name stands out in a list. A name that they have been called by name. When they could have put a whole bunch of other names down there, this name jumps out. But before we unpack who that is and what it's about, I want to ask you a question. Have you ever read through Scripture, or maybe through a story or an account, or maybe you're not a person of faith yet, and maybe you've seen an actress or an actor or a sports person, and as you read through like the Hall of Fame or this list, you're like, I would never fit in. You read through those names and you're like, man, they did some amazing things. I'm sure they never messed up. I'm sure that everything in their life was perfect. Have you ever thought that when you've read through Scripture? And you're like, I could never be a Peter. I could never be a Paul. I could never be an Esther. And you've sat there and said, I look in the mirror and all I see is my past. We don't have to show by hands, but how many ever wrestle with your past? Wrestle with labels that maybe you've placed upon yourself or someone else has placed upon you. And when you hear these kind of sermons and these series where God is calling you, you're like, there is no way, Pastor, that he could call me, because you don't know my story. You don't know what I have done. You don't know my mistakes, and my mistakes are defining me. In our lives and in our minds and sometimes even in our culture, we feel that our mistakes and our past and our labels have canceled us, and there's no way for God to actually call us and use us. And so this morning, if you're wrestling with that, or you know someone else who is wrestling with that, I want to tell you today that there is hope, that God is not a God who cancels, but God is a God who calls. God is a God who sees you, knows you, and he's calling you from there. And so this morning, we're going to go on a bit of a journey, and the title of our message is that, Called and Not Canceled. And we're going to look at a lady who is listed in the Heroes chapter. She's listed in sort of the Hall of Heroes of Scripture in Hebrews 11. And the author of the letter of Hebrews lists this individual. But the interesting part is when they list and call this lady by name, there's actually a label attached to it. There's a label that speaks of probably one of her weaker moments, one of her mistakes, one of her flaws. But it's interesting that although her flaw is listed, God sees beyond the label and doesn't cancel, but instead calls. So if you wouldn't mind this morning, we're going to go to Hebrews 11, verse 30 to 34. And then later we're going to unpack and sort of paraphrase Joshua 2. But this is what it says from Hebrews 11, starting in verse 30. It said, it was by faith that the people of Israel marched around Jericho for 7 days, and the walls came crashing down. It was by faith that Rahab, the what? The prostitute. So let's pause for just a second. He's listing off these heroes of faith, as we've talked about, even some of them in our series. But when he says, it was by faith that Rahab calls by name, pulled out by name, but right after there's a bit of a label. There's her journey, there's her past, there's her mistake, but showing that God sees beyond. So we continue on. That Rahab the prostitute was not destroyed with the people in her city who refused to obey God, for she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. How much more do I need to say? It would take too long to recount the stories of the faith of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and all the prophets. By faith, these people overthrew kingdoms, ruled with justice, and received what God had promised them. They shut the mouths of lions, quenched the flames of fire, and escaped death by the edge of the sword. Their weaknesses were turned to what? Strength. They became strong in battle and put whole armies to flight. So this morning, it gives us a bit of hope. In this list of heroes, in the Hall of Fame, not everyone listed in there has lived that perfect life. We unpacked a little bit about Gideon. Weakest of the tribe, doesn't feel like he stands out. Smallest of the tribes. Now we have Rahab, this mighty woman who courageous faith sets people free, but isn't known for the label. But let's first unpack a little bit of the problem. And that problem comes with something that we often encounter, which is many of us are labeled. Many of us have labeled ourselves or have labeled other people. We have this this false belief that God can't use us, that there is no way. Ever think of these things? Don't ask for a friend. Don't nudge anybody in this moment. Have you ever thought this? I'm not perfect. God can't use me. Have you ever thought this? My past defined me, or I am too far gone. I was talking with someone just this week as we were going on a journey, and I was talking to them about faith, and they said, Curtis, you don't understand. You know a little bit of my story, but the only part of the story that you know, which is pretty bad, is the part that I told you, or the part that you've heard about. But they said, there's so much more. And in those moments, their past, their mistakes, their worst moment was believing, making them believe that they were defined by that, that there was no freedom, there was no way out from the mistakes of their past, from their sin, from their hurt. I don't know about you, but there's many in this place, I believe, in and or online, or people that we know that live wrestling that. Saying there's no way God can remember, no way God can use me, because if you only knew what I thought about, if you only knew what I scrolled and watched, if you only knew my worst moment on my worst day, there is no hope for me. And then even worse, sometimes you might feel like you've got some hope, but other people have taken the labels and stuck them all over you. Failure, addict, dysfunction. Maybe your past, maybe your family line, maybe your journey, and you sit there and say, there's no hope for me. My family's filled with so much dysfunction. I was joking again with some people last week, and they said, Pastor, how would you understand? Like, you're one whole side, like you're a third generation pastor. You come from a line of pastors. You wouldn't understand. Your family has it all together. And in that side, I said, man, there's some mess over there too. But I joke and say, like, one side of my family are all pastors, and the other side, we kind of came from the Jerry Springer show. Because even when we got married, Jen's like, why is your cousin calling at this time and going through that? Because all of us have a bit of a story. All of us have a journey. All of us have a past. And sometimes we've allowed others or the enemy to put a label and define us. But I want to tell you today that you are not defined by your worst moment. You are not defined by what someone else says about you. You are not defined by the sin in your life, because today there is hope, and his name is Jesus. And so we have to be reminded. So let's go back for a second to what happens here with we see Rahab. Can you imagine this? Because Rahab is not just listed in Joshua 2. That's the account where we're seeing. As we see Joshua and the Israelites are ready to go in and ready to take down Jericho's walls, ready to come and to conquer the city, to walk into the promise. So he sends two spies in, and the spies go in. And now they're needing a place to hide. And they hide out with Rahab. And even as they say in Joshua 2 verse 1, we see this truth. It says this, then Joshua secretly sent out two spies from the Israelite camp. He instructed them, scout out the land on the other side of the Jordan River, especially around Jericho. So the two men sent out and came to the house of a what? A prostitute named Rahab, and stayed there the night. Every time that we see Rahab listed in Scripture, whether in Joshua, whether in Hebrews, or in this journey, others outside of when we're talking about her account, other than we see in Matthew, when we see in those other moments, even in James, it is listed as Rahab the prostitute. There is a label that's placed there. And I don't think it's by accident, because in those moments, yes, it's speaking of her past. Yes, it's describing her journey. And in your life, we may have some labels that were on there. You and I might have a reputation. And some of those reputations in the present moment might be accurate. They might be explaining or describing the journey that we're on right now or where we presently are. But I want to tell you today, and as we see from Rahab's account, that is not the end of your story, and that's not who you are called to become, and that is not who you are. You are not defined by your sin. You are not defined by your action, by your worst day. The one who calls and defines you is Jesus Christ. He's the one who names you. He's the one who formed you. He's the one who is walking with you and alongside of you. The enemy of your soul tries to define you and tries to trap you in sin, tries to trap you in hurt, tries to put labels upon your life. But along that journey, as we see with Rahab, that is not the end of your story. So we see this truth that we often believe that our lie, that our past or a present mess is too big for God to save us, let alone use us and allow our lives to make an impact. In those moments, we often believe that God wants to cancel us instead of call us. Today, if I don't get anything else through, I want you to know that God doesn't cancel you. God is the God of second chances. He calls back. He keeps calling. While you have breath, he is calling. He is pulling. He is saying, come on, come back. Come to the fullness of who you were called to be and created to be. He is calling and calling. He is not taking that label. He is saying, there is so much more for your life. And as we journey into there, we have to realize that truth, that he sees beyond the label. He sees beyond. He sees in you what you might not be able to see and what others cannot see. Where someone else says, this is who you are. You'll never be smart enough. You'll never be this. You'll never be that. And I know in this place, by even saying that, for some, it's starting to bring back memories and accounts of maybe when a teacher, a parent, a person in authority said those words over your life. And I want you to know that that is not the end of your story. That is not who you are defined by. Don't allow the labels of someone else to define you. Instead, allow Jesus and the Word of God to define you, that you are the head, not the tail, that you are blessed, that you are chosen, that you are rich, that you are adopted, as we see in Ephesians 1. 13 times he lists off these things. He says, in Christ, you are all of these things. Don't let the labels placed upon your life for the culture of our day define you. Don't let it cancel you. In those moments, people may reduce you to a label. People may cancel you. Your past may haunt you, but God still calls you. I don't know about you. Have you ever said something really foolish or done something really foolish and then try to go to sleep later? It's hard, isn't it? You recount and you're like, did I really just say that? I can't believe I just said that. Did I really just do that? And then we go through those thoughts and it just runs rampant in our head. We lose our sleep and we're just gripped inside of us and we're eternally just turmoil like those moments. Don't allow that to happen. Instead, submit our past, submit our mistakes, turn from our sins and say, that's not who I am. Begin to see yourself through the eyes of Christ. Begin to see yourself through the truths of Scripture. Before we go on to this moment, before we go on to the next truth, we see that your failure, your reputation may describe what you did, but it does not decide who you become. So I need you to be a part of this for a second. I want you to look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, God sees beyond the label. Now look at your other neighbor and say this. Say, neighbor, the label doesn't define you. Because in these moments, we see the truth that we even saw in the account with Gideon. Gideon sits there and says, I'm so weak, I'm so small, I can't do this. All the labels of his mind, of his heart, and of others. My tribe's too small, I'm too weak, the army's not big enough. They're going to kill us, they're going to do all these things. But God calls Gideon and he says, mighty warrior, mighty hero. Today, I want you to be reminded that maybe today in this place, there's some unexpected heroes of the faith. There's some unexpected people that God is calling, that you're like, there's no way God could use me. But today, all of a sudden, there's a glimmer of hope and some of that label starting to be peeled off. And you're like, I'm no longer that label. Maybe today I'm a hero of faith. Maybe today God's calling me. Maybe today God has a plan for my life. Maybe today I'm going to walk into who he's made me to be, not who I've already been or what other people have said about me. Because the truth is, there is truth beyond the label. God saw more in Rahab than everyone else did. Everyone else, even in her culture, even in the day, she would have been on the outside of culture, of the norm of society. She was on the edges of the wall, built her house in there. It would have been normally frequented, not only because some scholars would say she would be more of like an inn or an innkeeper, others would say that exactly her namesake was what she did, or maybe a combination of the two. But in that journey, she was sort of on the outskirts of what was going on. She had been labeled, pushed to the outside. But God saw in her something that no one else saw. And I believe he's still doing the same in our lives today. He sees in you and he sees in me what we can't even see. Where others saw a reputation, God saw redemption. Today you might be carrying a reputation. Oh, but God sees redemption. God sees a change. God sees hope. God sees a hero of faith. So what are some truths? What are some truths today that we can pull today to help us move beyond the labels and into the truth of who God's called us to be? I think there's four simple truths that we can pull today that can help us on our journey. And we see that truth played out in Joshua 2. We're going to read a little bit, Joshua 2, 4 to 6, and then 15 to 16, about what was happening at this time. So verse 4 to 6 is this. Rahab in Joshua 2, Rahab had hidden the two men, but she replied, "Yes, the men were here earlier, but I didn't know where they were from. They left the town at dusk as the gates were about to close. I don't know where they went. If you hurry, you can probably catch up with them." Actually, she had just taken them up to the roof and hidden them beneath bundles of flax she had laid out. So right now, the word had got. So the spies come into the land. They're hiding there. They're talking to her. And now the king of Jericho, the king of that moment, somehow gets word that the spies are in there. They're checking them out. So they're searching through. And Rahab has this choice. Do I rat them out or do I hide them? We won't get into the ethics about lying to people and all those things. We'll talk about another week some other time. But in those moments, she ends up telling them, oh, they're not here. I don't know where they are. They're not there. But she knows full well that she's hidden them. In doing that, that was a huge risk. In doing that, that was a courageous step of faith. We need to realize that she was not an Israelite. She would have been a Gentile, probably a Canaanite. In those moments, she worshiped other gods, and their whole nation worshiped other gods. So she has this moment where she's been serving there. She's not one of their journey, but somewhere inside of her, she has this belief that she says, that's the one true God. And we see this famous speech that she shares as she goes up and talks to them. And I'm not going to read it, but I'm going to share that with you. She shares this famous speech through verse 8 through about 13, but especially verse 11. And she highlights the truth that your God is stronger than all gods. I know that he is victorious and everyone is scared of him. So remember me, because he is the God above all names. He is the one who is above all in heaven and on earth. He is the one that we need to listen to. So there is a little bit of faith rising in her, and she steps out in that faith. We journey on to verse 15, 16 and see how the story ends. Then since Rahab's house was built into the town wall, she let them down by a rope through the window. Escape to the hill country, she told them. Hide there for 3 days from the men searching for you. Then when they have returned, you can go on your way. So we see Rahab. She goes against her time. She goes against the city. She goes against her kingdom. And she said, I trust your God. I've got a reverence and a fear of your God. I'm going to work alongside you. In taking that step, in taking that courageous step of faith, she's laying everything on the line. Her future, her life, the lives of her family members, and she's saying, it's all worth it because I have a little bit of faith in the right place. So what are four things that we can unpack from that account? First one, God isn't afraid of your mess. God isn't afraid of your mess. No matter how messy your room or how messy your life is, He is not running the other direction. You might say, well, this is what I've done and this is where I've been. He will find you, He loves you, and He is not running away from your biggest mess in the past or in the present. You might feel like it's hidden under the carpet or under the rug. He already knows. He knows the motives of your heart when that happened. He knows every sin. He knows every flaw, but He's still running towards you, and He's reminding you that He's already come and died for it. We have to be reminded of this. It wasn't by accident that God intersected her life. He wasn't just going around and saying, oh, I guess we're going to pick that one. He had a purpose and plan for her life. In her mess, He calls her, brings the spies there, knowing that I see in her a faith, a courageous faith, a boldness that would say, I don't have it all together. I'm not perfect. I'm a mess. And even in my own society and own culture, people have me on the outskirts. But I know something. I know that this God is the one I need to know, and I'm going to work with Him. He knew. He intersected her life. God sees what others miss. God calls and uses ordinary and imperfect people to make extraordinary differences and impact for the kingdom of God. Think of who we've talked about. Moses, Gideon, later Peter, Paul, David. He has a tendency. So if you're like, oh, I'm just ordinary people, you know, kind of like John Legend. In those moments, you're like ordinary people. In those moments, guess what? He's calling you. If you're feeling imperfect, that's good. We all are. In those moments, He's calling you. And here's where it gets a little tricky. He's calling the person that you put the label on to. Ouch, or amen. Because we feel really good when it's like, well, I got a label on me. I'm pulling that off. But how many know that we've put some labels on other people? Sit there and say, well, no, God will never use them. I don't think God could ever save them. I don't think God should save them. Did you know all the stuff that they did? You know how many times they hurt me? How many times they did all those things? We have to be reminded that no one's mess is too great for our God. That God meets us in our sin, meets us in our mess, and we have to be reminded of what Romans says, that all of us have sinned and fallen short. There's not one of us who deserve His grace, but He offers His grace to all. Amazing grace. We just remember that God can turn any life around, and He can call anyone. Do you believe that God wants to call you? Do you believe that He can call you? Second one, a little bit of faith goes a long ways. Verse 11, like I said, for the Lord your God is the supreme God of the heavens above and of the earth below. God can use our little faith to make big impacts even before our circumstances change. Did you know what? You know what Rahab was when she stepped out in faith? You know what her occupation was? Listed about four times. She was a prostitute. Her circumstance hadn't totally changed yet, but there was a little bit of faith directed towards the right person, the right God. Said, your God is the supreme God above all in heaven and in earth. I trust Him. I don't know. I don't have it all figured out yet, but I have a little bit of faith directed in the right direction. He doesn't need your perfection, but He desires that you and I would believe and place our faith in Him. Today, you might not have your act all together. You might be thinking about all the mistakes, all the flaws, all the sin of your life. He's not yet desiring your perfection because He's the one who's perfect. But what He is desiring today is that you would repent, turn towards Him. And as you turn towards Him and put your faith and trust in Him, He will start to bring the change. So in our lives, we need to begin to turn and trust that He is more than able, that He can do it. Faith is the key, not how good we are, and we all should say amen to that. Because we're not good enough. We can't be good enough. That's why we need Jesus. In this place, if you feel that you're good enough for eternity, we are not. That's why we need Jesus. Putting our faith in the finished work of the cross. Number three. God's call always demands a choice. Rahab's story is listed in the heroes of faith, not because she was called, but because she had the courage to actually do something with it. It wasn't based on good intentions. That wasn't the list of the heroes of good intentions. That was the heroes of faith. That was heroes who stepped out, who heard the call when they were scared, who looked at their past, who looked at their mistakes, who looked at their imperfections, and then looked and turned, like the word today from the Lord that said, turn our eyes towards Jesus, that started to look towards him, that stepped out in courageous faith when he said, this might cost you everything. Today, there's been times, as we've talked in this series, hopefully Holy Spirit has started to lay on your heart some things that he's calling you out of, and he's calling you to. And as he's doing that, it requires a choice. Because true faith requires a step. We can't just say, well, God's calling me, God's leaving me there. No, he loves you so much that he doesn't leave you there. But it requires us actually stepping out and saying, I don't have the outcome. I don't know how this is all going to go. Rahab didn't know how the story was going to go. She had to rely on that little bit of faith in the right place. And she said, I'm stepping out. When they came and said, where are the spies? And she's like, oh, I don't know. I think they've gone. She stepped out, risking everything on the line. Her faith demanded an active choice, just like he does with us. Think of this for your own life. Will you risk it all to hide the spies, face the giant, cross the sea, or even greater for some? Respond to his call of salvation. There's some in this place or maybe online that he's been just stirring in your heart even today, and you're like, I got to turn to Jesus. But you're scared. Faith requires a step. Faith requires a choice. We can't just say, well, you know what? This Jesus thing is all good. Church is all good. We have to take a step and say, I'm stepping out. Jesus, I trust you. I trust that you are the Son of God. I trust that you came and that you died for me. I trust that because of your death on the cross, because of your resurrection, that I can step into new life, eternal new life, that I don't have to be defined by my mistakes, but instead I can be defined by your truths. I can be defined that I'm now in you. I can be defined that I'm a son or a daughter of the Most High. I can be defined by I'm actually royalty. I'm no longer the pauper, but I'm now walking in royalty. No matter what my circumstance or my situation says, I can look at the truth that that is not who I am, because I am defined by him. Because it leads us to our final truth. God doesn't just call us, but he actually rewrites our stories. So we see Rahab, and you're like, well, how does this even work all together? How does this all come together? Rahab the prostitute, as we see in Joshua, as we see in Hebrews, as we see in James, becomes the lady, the one who helps the Israelites walk into the promise. Without her, do they walk into the promise? And from her, we see in Matthew 1, verse 5, as it's going through the family line of Jesus, there's a name that jumps out. A name that I believe was called by name. And the crazy part is Rahab happens to be in the lineage of Jesus. We see that it's the great-great-grandmother of David. So we got David, this man after God's own heart, this psalmist, this king, transforming all these things. But how did David get there? Huh. From the lineage of Rahab. So the spy who was on the outside looking in, this lady who with courageous faith said, I don't have it all figured out. I'm known by my label, but God saw beyond the label. And he says, you know what? There is a promise and there's a destiny upon your life. And it's not just going to impact your life, but I'm rewriting your story that will impact generations and generations and generations and generations. And that same truth is for you today. That no matter what dysfunction you came from, no matter what dysfunction has been placed and labeled on your life, today, starting with you, I believe he's calling us into the promise that we would have that truth that for generations and generations would be changed, because we would be people of faith who step out, who see beyond the label and say, God has a plan for me, and God has a plan for my kids, God has a plan for my city, God has a plan for our country. Because he's rewriting stories. God's grace and redemption is for everyone. I don't know about you, but that means a lot to me. Like I said, one side's little Jerry Springer. I think of some of my family and I think of my own life and the mistakes and flaws. I say, oh, thank you, Jesus, for the cross. Thank you, Jesus, for your grace. Thank you, Jesus, that there is hope, that there is power, that there's life. Today, you are not defined by your worst day or your worst mistake. If you return to Jesus, you're defined by the cross. You're defined by him, by the finished words that he said, it is finished. Because I believe in this place as we begin to get ready to end today, that there's some heroes in waiting. There's some heroes of all different ages in waiting today in this place. Where maybe you've disqualified yourself or others have disqualified you. But he's declaring the truth that there is heroes in this place. Not for your own, but heroes of the faith. And maybe at the beginning or maybe even today you're sitting there saying, well, my name doesn't match up. Like, I got all these other people there. I got all these heroes of the history of Glad Tidings who stepped out and made a difference. I don't know if my name would fit there. I want to tell you that there's some heroes of the faith right here in this place. You're like, well, you don't know the past, but there's some heroes of the faith right here. Because if he can use Rahab, the prostitute, he can use you. He can use me. Because he's seeing beyond the label. You today are a hero of faith and waiting. Your past does not define you. Your worst decision or moment doesn't define you. God's word, Christ's love, his sacrifice, his grace, and his call does. So how do we walk in this? How do we say yes to it and say, yeah, okay, I kind of got this. Pastor, I kind of believe it. I got a little bit of faith. How do I step into this? How do we live it out this week? First thing, realize that he wants to intersect your life. Just like Rahab, she was going about doing her thing. Some spies showed up, and her life was changed. Today, you are not here by accident. You are not hearing this message, even online, by accident. He is intersecting with your life because this is a word that you need to hear. There is not coincidences. There's not happenstance. God is the author and the finisher of everything. God has a plan that is happening in this place, and he is intersecting with your life and with your journey for you to be reminded that today you are a hero in waiting. Your worst day, your worst mistake does not define you. That even today, if you are living in the darkest of sin, there is hope and there is freedom found in Jesus. Number two, we need to have faith that God is greater than our labels, greater than our past and our flaws. Believe that he has the power to save, transform, and use our lives for good. Today, believe that there is hope. Maybe you've always been told that there isn't. I want to tell you today, there is hope, and his name is Jesus. He defeated the grave. It wasn't even a battle. It wasn't even a rival, because he is above all. So if he could defeat the grave and death, no matter what flaw, no matter what mistake, no matter what sin, no matter what journey you are on, his love and his cross and his blood poured out is greater. Trust him. Believe on that truth. And finally, activate our faith. That list was, like I said, not a list of good intentions. How many times have we turned church into a list of good intentions? He's calling us to be active in our faith, to step out. It might be a small shimmy. It may look different for each person in this place. But today I believe that he's calling, and he's calling us out. He's calling us to step out into what he has planned for your life. Maybe step out of the past. Maybe call on the name of Jesus for the first time to get saved. Maybe some to believe that God can use you. Maybe to step out of fear, out of brokenness, out of hurt, out of dysfunction, and into his wholeness. But today, he's asking us to take an active step of faith, because faith requires a choice. What choice will we make in this place? What choice will you make in your life, and will I make in my life? What choice will we make as a church? Imagine if we would say, God, here's my little faith. Here's my courageous faith. I'm stepping out into what you're calling me to. Imagine what God could do and will do if we align with him. This morning, I'm going to ask us in this place if you would stand as we get ready to pray. And today, maybe there's some in this place who need a breakthrough. Maybe you feel like Rahab, where you feel like your label has defined you, or your worst day or your sin has defined you. Today, I want to give you a chance to know the truth, and we've talked about it, that our sin doesn't have to define us anymore. Jesus has already come and made a way through the cross so that we could walk in freedom, that we could walk in new life. And Scripture tells us that in order to do that, we have to call on his name, that we call on the name of Jesus, that we would believe that he is the Son of God, believe that we are sinners and that we need him. Ask him to forgive us of our sins. And then when we would do that and make him Lord of our lives, just like that in an instant, because he truly is the God above all. He changes and transforms us. It doesn't mean we're going to be perfect. We all know that. But what it means is that we've been transformed and changed, and we're on the journey of becoming more like him. So in this place, if there's some that need to call in the name of Jesus, I challenge you too. Maybe you need to rededicate your life today. Call on him. And what we're going to do is in this place, we're going to pray together, because I believe we're a family, amen? And we don't want anyone praying alone. And so would you just repeat after me as we pray? Dear Jesus, thank you for coming. Thank you for calling me in my sin and not leaving me there. Thank you for your cross. I need you, Jesus. Forgive me of every sin. Make me like you. Become Lord of my life. I want to follow you with everything that I've got. Jesus, we love you. We thank you. We ask all of this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. If there's some in this place that have prayed that prayer for the first time or as a rededication, please let us know. We want to walk with you on that journey, because sometimes our past likes to sneak back up, and we want to be reminded to say, let's look at the Word of God and what he says about us. So that when the past tries to sneak back in, we say, that's not where I'm going. I'm walking to the new life. But for those who know Jesus today as your Lord and Savior, we're going to pray, but I'm going to challenge you that whatever that looks like, might have to be raising a hand when our eyes are shut or maybe taking a little step, but as a church, we would be individuals and we would be a corporate body that doesn't just have good intentions, but that would see beyond the label in our lives and in others' lives, and we would live with activated faith, that we would step out and step into the fullness of who God's called us to be. Trust that he's rewriting stories right today, that in this place, you and I are unexpected heroes. We're heroes in waiting. So as we pray, posture yourself to say, I'm taking that step of faith. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for who you are. Lord, we thank you today that you call us by name. Lord, that you see beyond every label that we've placed upon our lives or someone else has placed on our lives. Today, Lord, we ask that you would give us the courage and the faith to step into all that you're calling us to. That we would step out of our past, step out of our hurt, step out of our dysfunction and into your new life. Lord, like you did with Rahab, you rewrote her story and rewrote her journey. Begin to rewrite some stories today. Where others saw a reputation, God, you saw redemption. Begin to redeem stories and rewrite stories that would affect not only us in this place, but generations and generations. God, you've got big plans for us and for this church. We want to partner with you. So God, we are saying we're stepping in faith today. Holy Spirit, move in our lives, through our lives, and around our lives for the glory of Jesus and for our good. Be with us today as we go, and let us walk in faith. We ask all of this in the mighty name of Jesus, and we said together, church, amen and amen. Be blessed. Have an amazing week.